Welcome to the NutriTots podcast. We're your hosts, Megan and Haley Arnold. As clinicians and moms, we are in the trenches with you dealing with the fun and sometimes ugly truth of growing a healthy family. Our goal is to empower a community through nutrition. Join us as we dive into topics related to conception, pregnancy, and raising kids. Thanks for listening. We're excited to have you with us. Welcome to the NutriTots podcast. Today, our guest is Dr. Martin Rosen, a fellow chiropractor and a bit of a celebrity in our world. Over the past four decades, Dr. Rosen has practiced pediatric and prenatal chiropractic, trained thousands of healthcare providers, and has truly helped thousands of children get and stay healthy. Dr. Rosen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to our conversation. I love the work you guys are doing, so I'd love to be able to support it.
Awesome.
Nice. We're excited to talk about pediatric and prenatal chiropractic today. So, Dr. Rosen, can you please tell us why a parent would need to take their child to a chiropractor?
Well, the short answer is, I say to my patients two things. One, if your child has a spine and a nervous system, they need to have it checked. And two, if your child was in a uterus and is no longer in a uterus, then they need to be checked. That is the kind of snarky little answer. But the real reason is, and the other part of that reason is that the beginning stages of life, those first 2 years especially, is when we're laying the foundation for the nervous system. And though births can be natural, or there could be interventions, or there could be C-sections, whatever particular issue of birth process is, there can be trauma and stress on the child as well as the mother. And the reason for that is, one of the things that happens is, as the baby leaves the uterus and starts to go down the birth canal, the amount of pressure that the contractions cause on the baby's spine and cranium are tenfold. So they start at like 10 millimeters of mercury in the uterus, and during transition go up to 100 millimeters of mercury. So you're getting a lot of compressions. And with that compression, if there are distortions on the way down, or the child gets stuck, or sometimes assisted deliveries, vacuum, forceps, and such, or even if the mom is given Pitocin and increases the intensity of those contractions, that can be stress on the delicate nervous system and the cranium and the spine. And honestly, chiropractors are the only profession that is trained to evaluate the spine and cranium for those kind of distortion patterns. That's what we do. That's what our, you know, that's our ballpark. That's our pathway. And people bring their child to pediatricians to, you know, have them weighed, measured, and do with the things they check. But no one really checks how the nervous system and the spine is actually function on a non-pathological level. And that's our whole basis here, is to get to the problem, to correct it while the child's nervous system is developing, so that they don't actually become something that could be a diagnosed condition later on. Our goal is to optimize function, and those first moments of life and the first 2 years of life especially is when we're laying the foundation for a healthy nervous system. So the best person to check that out is a chiropractor.
We 100% agree with that, obviously. Okay, so the question we always get is, hey, I'm an adult, I go to the chiropractor because my back hurts. Right. Why in the world would I take my kid, which you just answered?
Right.
But then how is that different? What does the pediatric adjustment look like compared to an adult adjustment?
So two things. Those are two kind of pieces of information that we need to look at. Is number one, back pain, neck pain, headaches, arm pain, shoulder pain, all that. That's a really small parameter of the chiropractic profession.
Right.
And the idea is that we really need to help people expand and understand that word nervous system. We're dealing with the nervous system and how that functions. So simply, if you have a back pain, neck pain, head pain, whatever you particularly have, and whatever symptom you come in with, that's just a part of what we're looking at. We're actually looking at maintaining function of your nervous system. So why would you bring your child in? I don't know of a parent alive who doesn't want that child to be as healthy and as functional as possible. And so that's what our goal is. So yes, we get kids in with all kinds of issues, flagellocephaly, colic, reflux, chronic ear infections, you know, learning disabilities. The list is endless, but that's just a piece of the puzzle. The idea is, why is that underlying condition occurring? And our job is to find what the underlying condition is, so that the nervous system and the child itself can start to adapt better to its environment, to whatever those stresses are. So your child should be checked, or any person, honestly, any person with a spine should be checked. You know, it's like, I tell my patients, well, you know, you go to the dentist to get your teeth checked, right? You don't go to the dentist only when you have a cavity, you know? And so for chiropractic, we're kind of wanting, our goal is to check people to make sure that problems aren't occurring. You know, I mean, if you go to the dentist, you go in 3 months, they check your teeth and they say, wow, you look great. You go home and you're happy, right? You go back 3 months later. Well, the same thing in a chiropractic. If you bring your child in after the birth and we go, wow, child's looking great. You know, why don't we take a look at them in 2 or 3 months? Or, wow, we found this particular problem. We should address this now before it becomes a much more advanced problem. As far as the adjustment is concerned, it's a whole different ballgame. I'm sure, as you guys know, you know, you have to take special training to become a pediatric chiropractor. You don't get enough of that education in school. And just like in the medical profession, when you pick, you know, a specialty, whether it be pediatrics, orthopedics, whatever you, OBGYN, whatever you pick, you have to have special training. So we get a baseline training in chiropractic, and then pediatrics is a specialty. And the reason it's a specialty is because the spine, the nervous system, the cranium is much different in infants. So it needs to be addressed in a different way. And honestly, what I tell my patients is that adjusting an infant is actually safer than adjusting an adult, given the high velocity techniques that sometimes are used on adults. With infants, we use 4 to 6 ounces of pressure. They're very light techniques. They're very safe. And the chances of actually hurting an infant are minuscule, even much, much, much less than it is that could happen with a, that happens with an adult. So it is a very safe, it's a very effective, and it's a very efficient method to make or to ensure that your child's spine, nervous system is functioning its optimum potential.
Awesome.
What are the benefits of chiropractic during pregnancy?
Oh, that's one of my favorite, only because, and I know you guys have had the same experience. We've had women come in who, number one, before pregnancy, were not able to get pregnant or having difficulty, and under chiropractic care, through chiropractic care and often sometimes through nutrition help, they've been able to get pregnant. But during pregnancy, the whole idea is as the pregnancy increases, your body's biomechanics changes. And one of the things, you know, so many women who are pregnant end up with, you know, back pain, sciatica. And so what we can do is help mitigate the changes in structure. If you just think about the fact that as you're becoming pregnant, the further along, two things are happening, well, three things, well, a zillion things are happening, but I've never been pregnant, so the numbers are a little bit different. But your hormonal system is changing, your structural system is changing, the amount of fluid in your body is changing, your weight is changing, all these factors. So think if you weren't pregnant and you gained 50 pounds of weight gain and your body's fluid levels increased 40% and you had an inflammatory process, that would be very uncomfortable. Chiropractic can mitigate that, all right, and help your body adapt to those changes. The other thing that happens is there are soft tissue mechanics that attach to the bones, what we call fascial planes. For people who you know, don't understand exactly what they're, just think of your diaphragm. That's what we call a transverse fascial plane. Well, you also have that in your pelvis. And I'm sure most of women know about, you know, the pelvic floor. And so if there's a distortion in the spine or a distortion in the skeleton, it can put stress on those transverse fascial planes and can actually shift the position of the uterus, making the delivery more difficult. So part of the chiropractic paradigm is making sure that what we call the pelvic inlet and pelvic outlet, which is formed in the pelvis by the relationship of the hip bones to the tailbone, we make sure that's lined up so the pelvic inlet and outlet are as patent or as open as possible. We make sure the transverse fascial planes are balanced so the uterus is in the best position to give birth. And that tends to make the process much easier on the baby and the mom. So the two things we're looking at is helping to mitigate the mom's structure and deal with the more the stresses that occur during the pregnancy. And two, to make sure that as the baby's growing inside the uterus, that the uterus is basically set up so that it can not only deliver the baby best, but also give the baby the most nutrition and most health.
You know, every time I see a pregnant patient or Dr. Megan sees a pregnant patient, we always tell them they are our best and most amazing athletes, because no other human goes through those kind of changes as rapidly as a pregnant woman does. So it makes perfect sense to have chiropractic on board as well.
And they're doing it for 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, running a marathon, it takes you four hours. I mean, I know you train up to that point, but it's 4 hours, you know? Four hours. Most women, if they have labor from beginning to end for 4 hours, they'd be really happy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you're talking about an athletic event that, number one, most people don't have the training for to begin with, so they need a lot of support.
Right.
And number two, it's probably the longest going event that you could possibly be in. You know, I never thought of that, but I love that. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. So one of the things, of course, with birth You know, we talk about birth traumas a lot as chiropractors, but one of the things we absolutely love our patients to experience, and I believe you practice this, is craniopathy and really dealing with the head. Can you tell us what that is, more about that?
So I'm a chiropractic craniopath. It's a very specific art that tied into chiropractic and cranial adjusting. And the reason it's so important in the infancy is if you ever looked at an infant skull, which if any of your listeners want to just Google an infant skull and you look at the bones there, they are like tectonic plates. They're not joined by sutures. They're separated by what's called sutural meningeal system. So the dura, which is a soft tissue system that goes all the way down from the tailbone, wraps all the way in the spine, all the way around the brain, and then comes out through these what we call sutures in the skull and becomes the covering of the brain, is a system that allows for a lot of movement and growth. And the first year of life, the whole idea of that cranial suture system is allow the brain to grow twice its size. So it's not a big protective mechanism, but because it's allowing the brain to grow properly, then those sutures and those systems of bones have to be aligned correctly. If they're not, they can cause unequal pressure on two things, the dural meningeal system and on the nerve tissue itself. So for those of you who've seen kids with flat head syndrome or plagiocephaly, you know, where the head is very torqued or twisted, not only is that an aesthetic issue, but it can be a functional issue. So what's so important about cranial work is that we then, and the other piece around that is 80% of your central nervous system is located in your brain. So chiropractors who do cranial adjustment are trained to be able to evaluate the cranium for any structural or stress patterns that can cause problems later on, or that may even be causing problems at that very moment. So many things happen in the cranium besides the brain growing. There are nerves, three of them, that actually exit the cranium and come through this little hole called the jugular foramen. And that nerve, one of the main ones that can get irritated, is called the vagus nerve. And that has a lot to do with digestion issues, with what we call fight or flight responses. So that can be irritation to that nerve can cause whole global changes in the way the child develops and their system digests. So to be trained in cranial adjusting is to be trained in the art of being able to determine if the sutural system is under pressure or under stress. Because what happens is during the birth, the sutures are set up for the cranium to compress. So the head actually gets smaller. And as the baby comes out within the first 7 to 10 days, that head is supposed to literally pop back into its normal position. So again, if that doesn't happen, if let's say a child is born, there's a lot of stress and the head looks very compressed, maybe kind of like a cone head. And if within 7 to 10 days, that doesn't start to change, then we as chiropractors know that that's a problem, because in that period of time, it's supposed to round out and the head grows and changes over that, like I said, that next year as the sutural system forms. The other thing that you look at is those little soft spots on the head. There are actually six of them. There's one on the top of the head, one on the back, and there's four on the side. And those are called fontanelles. And they're there to allow the cranium to grow. If those fontanelles close too early or don't close soon enough, that can also be a sign of some kind of problem. So again, someone trained in cranial adjusting would be able to evaluate those and let you know or see if the cranium is changing shape. It's all about function. You know, my wife and I wrote a book during COVID last year called It's All in the Head. And the whole idea of the book was to describe the anatomy and physiology of cranial growth and dynamics, how it affects the cranium, what to look for in your child. So it basically covers everything that we could talk about for the next 2 hours about what happens to the nervous system if there's cranial distortion patterns. But again, we wrote that just for that particular purpose. And again, it is a specific art. So not all chiropractors do cranial work. A lot of pediatric chiropractors do, but some don't. So it's kind of the next, I don't want to say level, because that sounds not what I'm doing. It's just the next step. It's just another way to look at it. It gives us another tool to look at something else. Again, our whole purpose is trying to make sure that your child has the best opportunity to express their full potential as they grow up. And this is just another facet that we look at for that.
Is there an age where cranial chiropractic is no longer helpful, or can it be done always?
So it can always be done. There have been studies that show sutural movement or movement in the cranium in 80-year-olds. There's one part in the middle of your head. It's a joint. It's where the bone that the, by either side of your ears and the bone in the back of your head. It joins in the middle of your head, and it's a little joint called the sphenobasilar junction. That is a mobile joint. It actually has cartilage in it for the first 26 years of life. So that moves a lot. So I have done cranial work on 75-year-olds, 80-year-olds, on 2-day-olds. Obviously, just like everything else, the effectiveness of what we do is based on how the body responds. So if you have a healthy child, they're going to respond a lot better than a very sick 85-year-old. But that doesn't mean you can't help them. The other thing that we look at with cranial work is movement of the jaw. And that affects in the infant, we're talking about things like nursing and latching and sucking issues. But in older people, we talk about things like TMJ issues. You know, so when we deal with cranial work, it also involves the TMJ, the joint there. And, you know, even if babies have tongue tie, lip ties, or buccal ties, that affects the way the cranial mechanics work. And once those are revised, if they need to be, there still needs to be work to help to get the cranium to move correctly, especially if it's been locked down by those ties. So there's no age group that you can, that is, you can't do cranial work on. But again, the effectiveness depends on the patient's overall health and their condition, and obviously also the ability of the chiropractor to be able to determine what needs to be done and to do that efficiently and effectively.
You mentioned lip tie and tongue ties. Can you tell me how that relates to breastfeeding specifically?
Well, yeah, depending on, I mean, obviously a lip tie or a tongue tie, depending on the degree of it. You know, in my office, we divide tongue tie into 3 parameters, an anterior, middle, and a posterior. But we also check functionality of it. We look at lip ties and see how far down they go below the lip. Like, do they go all the way down below the gum line, or are they just high enough up? So depending on, and then of course, buccal ties, how tight they are. All of this affects the baby's ability to, number one, if it's bad enough to get the tongue up against the roof of the mouth so they can't seal on a nipple, so they'll start to suck air, which is a very common reason they get colic. A lip or a buccal tie may reduce the baby's ability for their lips to actually latch on and to make a suction there. Also, a lot of kids like that will end up trying to use their teeth or their gums to bite to clamp down because they can't use their lips to clamp down. So any type of lip or tongue tie that is causing a functional problem, which is also something that you have to determine, will affect the way the baby can latch, can affect the strength of their suck, can affect their gag reflex, can affect how much air they suck down, therefore the nutrition. And it also affects growth patterns. I talked about that fascia a little while ago. The tongue and that the lingam of the tongue, that area that attaches to the base of the mouth, is a fascial plane. And if that's too tight, it can also affect the way the jaw develops. If the tongue tie is too tight, the baby can't protrude their jaw very far. You'll see these little kids sometimes who come in, looks like they have no chin, it's already pulled back. Because they have a tongue tie that's too tight, they can't get their jaw all the way out. So over time, the jaw will start to be pulled back. And the other thing that happens, if they can't press their tongue against the palate correctly, the palate won't develop right. So at 6 or 7, you know, you'll hear from the orthodontist, well, your child needs a palate spreader. Because one of the things that the tongue does is it hits the palate, is it helps it grow, it helps it expand. So there can be a lot of far-reaching effects if the tongue, lip, or buccal tie affects functionality. But that's the thing that has to be determined. Is it affecting function, or is it just an aesthetic thing or something that the child can compensate for? Because not every single one of those has to be revised. But that's for an expert to determine.
Do you work with like a pediatric dentist?
Yeah.
Specific type of practitioner to?
Yeah, I work with, in my area right now, there's 3 pediatric dentists, that depending where the person lives, there's 3 pediatric dentists. And most of them, matter of fact, these 3, the reason I work with them is because they understand what I do. Some of them will actually send the child to us first to start the balance cranium before they do the revision. And then some of them will send it to us after. So we kind of work together to determine which is the best modus operandi to do it. Like, should we set up a better platform within the palate before you do the revision so the child can adapt better to that? Or is the revision necessary first so we can set up that platform? So we really work in coordination with each other. And one of the dentists that I work with a lot, he actually specializes doing tongue revisions in older people. Like, so he works a lot with teenagers and adults who have had long-term tongue tie issues. Mm-hmm. And so I work a lot with him, with kids with that TMJ issues, or parents or adults who have TMJ issues, and they've never been resolved. And one of the reasons is because they've had a tongue tie that's never been revised. And so no matter what you do to their jaw, it their mechanics will never be right. So yeah, so we have two of them specialize in infants, and the other one does infants, but he specializes in older people. So yeah, we kind of cover the gamut.
I don't think people talk about tongue tie, lip tie enough for adults either, because even, you know, we have patients with chronic migraines, you know, they always feel like, oh, maybe it's just their eyes, maybe their vision off and they need glasses. But in reality, like you said, TMJ dysfunction, headaches, all of those kind of things can be linked to that as well. So that's,
you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay. The chiropractic paradigm is really simple. Nothing in the body happens in isolation. You know, it's like in medical paradigm, we box things. Oh, you have an arm problem, you have a neck problem, you have an eye problem, you have a toe, you know, whatever it is. In chiropractic, we understand that nothing happens in isolation, so that we have to look at what the cascade effect is. And often when the patient comes in, that's actually not the problem that needs to be addressed. It's an underlying issue that brought them to that point. Perfect example, migraines. I remember I had this woman come in. Her mother referred her in. Her mother was in her 70s. The woman was 54 years old, and she was having chronic jaw problems and headaches. And, you know, she had tried everything. So mom finally decided to bring her in. I did the evaluation. First thing I did, she stuck her tongue out. For those of you who can't see, when she stuck her tongue out, it went just below her lips and pointed straight down. And I'm like, can you open your mouth? She had a tongue tie. So she'd never been able to stick her tongue straight out of her mouth or out and up, only out and down. And that was part of the reason she had this chronic long-term TMJ problem that she'd been treating. And no one said, you need a tongue tie revision. She was 54 years old at the time.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So along those lines, you know, in chiropractic, most chiropractors have a story for why they became a chiropractor, but what are some of your favorite patient testimonials or things that you've seen? I mean, you've been in practice for a while now. You probably have a lot of stories.
I do have a lot. There's a couple. So one in particular, I had this little, a little boy was brought in. He was about 3 years old. Starting at around 16 to 18 months. I forget exactly what it's like, might have been 18 months. He started not being able to eat well. He started losing weight. He started getting very sick. Anyhow, the parents had been through a lot. Now we're in Boston, and this is a medical mecca, you know, and everybody here has the best doctor in the world. You can ask them, they'll tell you their doctor is the best. And we have Boston Children's Hospital, which of course is also the best. And anyhow, this child had been for a year and a half, they've been trying all these things on him. Finally, they gave him a diagnosis of failure to thrive. He was 3 years old. He weighed 25 pounds at the time we saw him and was quite lethargic, you know, not anywhere near what a three-year-old would be. Anyhow, he was referred into my office and, you know, the mom brought in literally like a mound of paperwork and a mound of tests from, you know, the doctors and children's hospitals. And I looked at them and we started under care. Within 6 weeks, the child started eating. By 3 months, the child had gained 6 pounds. And within the 6 months, the child was up to speed, both physically, emotionally, and used to come to the office and run around and do all the things that you expect a 3.5-year-old to do. And, you know, they had spent 18 months of time and testing. That was one. Another little, well, so many of them, I'm trying to think of which ones to use. Oh, he's one of my favorites. This boy was brought to our office. He was 6 at the time. I can go back to him, but he was 6 at the time. He had allergies, asthma, and he had an anaphylactic reaction to bee stings. He also was on the spectrum. He had Asperger's. So he had a whole plethora of stuff going on. His parents had done everything. Right. So, and the problem was, if he took allergy medication, the allergy medication stimulated the Asperger's response. And if he did, and if he didn't take his allergy medication, he would get more asthmatic. But also the asthmatic, albuterol and or epinephrine would have also stimulated the Asperger's response. So he had this vicious cycle. Anyhow, they started under care. And within the first couple of months, his mom started knowing that his allergy symptoms were dissipating. So I suggested she talk to the pediatrician and maybe we start to reduce some of his allergy medication. So they started to reduce his allergy medication. And they actually used to carry an EpiPen because we got a bee sting that, you know, he would go into anaphylaxis. Anyhow, within the first year, he got weaned off his allergy medications. He stopped having asthma attacks, and which even was happening in nursing school, that he wasn't flapping as much. So his mom, after about a year and a half of care, decided, I'm going to take a big step. He's always wanted to go to Disney World, but they're afraid to take him because the amount of environmental impact he would just start flapping. Anyhow, they took him to Disney World. He had absolutely no problem. He stayed under care throughout his, you know, his all. Matter of fact, he still sees, sometimes he sees my daughter, who's also a chiropractor. But the bottom line is he decided that throughout his life, he always wanted to be a fighter pilot. Now, given the fact that he had Asperger's, allergies, and anaphylaxis, the odds were really low. Anyhow, he stayed under care for, you know, in the next 15 years and 14 years, whatever it was when he went to take his test. The government put him through a barrage of tests, including gamma globulin tests, stress tests, all these things, because they had his history. He actually passed the test, and he actually is a fighter pilot now. He has no signs of Asperger's. He has no sign of asthma. They tested him for bee stings. He has no anaphylactic reactions for bee stings. He's actually 100% not only normal, but he's actually one of the elite people who can actually fly fighter planes. And wow, that was a huge change in his life from chiropractic care. You know, we did chiropractic care, made a few nutritional tweaks in his, you know, in his lifestyle and diet. And like I said, he's 100%, 110% normal right now.
It's amazing what happens when your nervous system's working properly.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yep.
That's awesome. Any other stories for us?
Oh, God.
Good time for one more.
I got time for one more. This one kind of always makes me kind of tear up. And it is the level of commitment someone will have. So we had this woman, husband and wife, they were Chinese. They came to the United States to work at MIT. They were scientists, and they came here to work on earthquake research. They were trying to find out ways that we can basically tell when an earthquake is going to happen so that we can prevent more damage. Anyhow, they got pregnant and had this little baby. And the little baby had a disease process called trisomy, I always get it, 21. Which one is down? Is 18? 21 is down. So trisomy 18. Which is pretty much a death sentence. But what's amazing about it, and they gave the child several months to live. And when they brought it in, the child was 4.5 pounds when it was born. Hmm. And the mom, like I said, they were scientists. They were very trained in the scientific doctrine, but they also were very much into chiropractic care. It really rang true for them what we were talking about, function. And they used to bring the girl's name was Yuja. And they used to bring her in every week. And what was amazing about it is they kept telling him that, you know, she was only going to live 3 to 6 months at most. And they kept bringing her every week. And I'd adjust her. The child would have some difficulty breathing, and I'd adjust her. She'd get better. And they kept bringing her in 18 months down the road, which is about 3 times where the child, you know, the child actually did pass away. But what was amazing is the mom wrote me this amazing letter of how she was so happy and so blessed that we gave them more time with their child to spend, and that, you know, we can't thank you enough for the extra time that we got with you to spend. And to me, that was just like, that's what we're talking about, human potential. It's like, I don't know how long someone's going to live. I don't know what's going to take us out, but I do know that we can increase the functional potential. And these scientists understood that. And yeah, so we gave them 3 times as long for their child to live. And we're talking about impacting a nervous system that is damaged beyond actual real repair, that still can adapt to the place where this child's functional potential can increase enough to give her a longer lifespan and to allow her parents to bond and have the joy of having her for that period of time. And to me, it was just so clear that what we're talking about is understandable on so many levels for people, even someone trained in the scientific method, to understand what actual human potential is about. And so that story kind of always, I don't know, it kind of gives me a little bit of chills. And I was pretty young in practice at that time. And the amount of commitment they had to come in every single week, and they had to drive about 45 minutes to get to my office with this tiny lady. You know, I mean, she started out at 4.5 pounds. I forgot. I think she got somewhere to, in 18 months, somewhere around 12 pounds. But it's just, you know, those are the kind of things. And there are thousands of other stories, like the child with Asperger's syndrome that I have, and failure to thrive, and kids with learning disabilities. I had one, a short one here, is basically little boy was brought into my office. He was diagnosed with autism and hyperactivity, attention, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder by the neurologist. Parents brought him under care. He was told to check back in 6 months, went back to the neurologist in 6 months. And the neurologist said to him, I don't know what you're doing, but he has no more signs of autism. I said, you know, and I sent the guy sent me a letter and I sent him a packet of information about, you know, what we do and what we do. But this wasn't even me making the evaluation. This was an outside a neurologist within a 6 month period of time diagnosing a child with autism to not having any symptoms of autism in 6 months.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Why we do what we do.
It is one of the reasons we do what we do. It is.
If our listeners took only one message away from today's podcast, what would you want that to be?
Understand that there is really a health paradigm, not a sickness paradigm that chiropractic is professing, that we're not talking about symptoms of disease or sickness. We're talking about human potential, and it's a different ladder. It's a different roadway. So just because your child doesn't have a symptom or a disease or a diagnosable condition or you yourself doesn't mean that your nervous system is functioning as optimal potential. And you need someone who's able to look at a different paradigm to help you, because again, we know that you want your child to be as healthy and happy as possible, that someone else has a different pathway or a different way of looking at what we actually call health, not a sickness model, which is what our society is based on. And that this is a different paradigm that I hope you would explore to keep your family healthier and happier.
That is exactly why we do what we do. So Dr. Rosen, the amount of knowledge and passion that you bring for chiropractic care, for natural health care and true health care, like you just right. said, we're not working in a sick care paradigm. We're truly working in a health care okay. paradigm. We are so thankful that you decided to hop on our podcast today and share all of this awesome information.
I'm so happy you had to have me and gave me this forum to actually share my passion, because you're right. It is my passion, and it's not just what I do. It's how I live.
That's fabulous. We are the same way. You know, I actually did tear up with your story a little bit, that one story, but I want our listeners to understand that these are things that we expect to hear most of the time because they happen so often. Yeah. One thing that we often say is we expect miracles just because right. they're the daily thing in our practices. So thank you again. In the show notes, I'm going to put how people can find you. We have plenty of listeners from the Boston metro area that okay. I'm sure will be looking you up very soon.
That's okay. I mean, we just really want people to go to chiropractors. I've been in practice 40 years. My daughter is a chiropractor. My wife is a chiropractor. And I told you about my older daughter. So that's what I mean by we live what we do. You know, it's just how we've always done it. So yeah. Find us. We'll help you. If we can't help you, we'll send you to somebody who can.
Right on. And for our doctors who listen to us, we have a lot of chiropractors. They can also learn from you, correct?
We have, we opened up last year, the Peak Potential Institute, which is our teaching arm. And we run hands-on and online seminars. So if you go to peakpotentialprogram.com, you can see all of our courses. They're everything from adult courses to pediatric courses, cranial adjusting courses, soft tissue work. And like I said, we're running a new hands-on series. We have a Boston series that's finishing up in September. And next year, we're going to Florida to run a three-part series. It's a 48-hour, 316-hour seminar. So yeah, if you want to learn from us, we have books, we have classes, and we have hands-on seminars. And you can find all of that on either drmartinrosen.com or peakpotentialprogram.com. Find us, learn from us. We love sharing this work. I love teaching. I'm an only child. I love the attention. I love to teach.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the NutriTalks podcast. We look forward to hearing the feedback from our audience and certainly from learning from you even more.
Great. Thank you very much for having me again, and wish you guys well and hope you keep doing what you're doing for at least another 30 years.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the NutriTots podcast. Be sure to like and follow us on your favorite social media platforms and visit our website at NutriTots.com.